I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's go to the hotline, and we talk to Daryl Ryder, who joins us now. We're going to talk all things with Daryl. Let's start with Guardians right now. They play this afternoon, and you are on Guardians beat right now, aren't you, my friend?
I am. Just got done visiting with Mike Chernoff.
And how was that? How was that conversation with Mike Chernoff?
It was good. And I asked him about the addition of David Blitzer in the minority investment group and what impact that potentially could have on how he and the front office and baseball operations go about their jobs. And he said it doesn't change. They will continue to really operate, which, by the way, to their credit, has been extremely successful. They're not going to have major philosophical changes as far as how they run this organization. And of course, they've been extremely lucky in the sense of they haven't had to burn the thing down and tank and rebuild the entire organization from the minors to the majors, which usually takes 5 to 7 years, like we see so many teams around Major League Baseball. So, they've been lucky in that regard that they've made some tough decisions. The Clevinger trade obviously tops that as far as making those type of moves to bring in young talent to accelerate that process. So, yeah, they've been very, very fortunate to see the fruits of those difficult decisions pay off for them.
Daryl, I'm interested. Did he talk anything more about the minority group that was coming in here to the group of people that are buying into the minority share? Because it's more than Blitzer. I know Matt Colick, who owns Colick Racing, is a part of that group. Did they talk more about that or not? I'm just curious.
We just talked about just leveraging that as far as to continue to benefit them organizationally. And he did mention how they want to, because of Blitzer and that group's expertise with other not only sports leagues but other ventures, as Chernoff mentioned, that they've already begun to kind of leverage that internally, whether it's from an operation standpoint or a marketing and promotion standpoint or a partnership standpoint, those type of things. So, from that angle, absolutely, the impact of the new group is certainly being felt. But again, for anyone that's expecting that the Guardians are going to just magically operate completely different than how we have seen them, and that is to try and draft and develop their own talent through the minor league system, as well as leverage potential players that they cannot keep here to supplement not only the major league club, but the talent in the minor league system. That, from a philosophical standpoint, is going to remain the same. And it's hard to argue against that just because of how successful organizationally they have been. And you look at the state of the minor league system now, and Chernoff talked about this, how excited he is, not only just a lot of these young position players at AA and AAA, but also pitching. It's been interesting when you look at the history of this organization. In the 90s, they cranked out hitters through the minor league system like nobody's business. And then it's flipped to where pitching became a strength of the organization. But now, too, we're seeing position players come up and have success. So, it's really become a well-rounded organization for developing and cultivating young talent while also going out and using trades to supplement that talent with impact players.
Daryl, the one thing about that, though, things stay the same for now. Well, that's because Paul Dolan is still the majority owner. It'll be interesting to see what happens when the takeover actually occurs. You know, does David Blitzer have a different approach than the Dolans or whatever? You never know.
I think it's really interesting. Hang on a second, Daryl.
Jeff, I wouldn't change a thing.
Oh, no, Daryl, I wouldn't either. It's been successful. I wouldn't change it either, except maybe add some more money to the mix.
Right.
But that's a different owner, and, you know, we don't know at this point what his thoughts might be.
And we
saw under Sherman how they had some – and that was kind of the premise of my question, because under Sherman – they had some flexibility to go outside their comfort zone, and we saw that around 2016, 2017. But then when Sherman left for the Royals, they kind of had to scale things back. But I think Chernoff's point is don't expect them just to go out with a blank check and you know, try and be like the New York Yankees or a large market team. They're going to operationally continue to do what has made them successful. And again, my point is, like, this is a rebuild right now. What they're going through right now,
they're
in a rebuild, and yet they're still finding ways to compete and win games. They're above 500. Most teams that go through rebuild, they're 20 games below 500 at this point in the season, and they're already out of contention, and the focus is on the minor league talent. That's not the case here. And again, I think that the Guardians deserve a tremendous amount of credit for continuing to field a competitive product at the major league level while they go through this transition, because they're going to have some tough choices to make. You know, they've got some, yes, they have some holes at the major league level, but they also have cornerstones at the major league level, while at the same time, they've got a bunch of kids in the minor leagues who they project to be cornerstones. So it's going to be fascinating over the next couple of years as they make those difficult decisions, picking between you know, what they have now existing and, you know, what they project coming up through the minor leagues.
Daryl, I know that they're probably focused on today, because today is a big game. I mean, if they can win this, then they win the series, especially after having a couple games where they, you know, they couldn't score a run. And, you know, it was nice to see a home run last night, too. But as a fan, it's hard not to look ahead to tomorrow with the Yankees coming to town. And just being in there enough, I know what the answer you're probably going to give me is. Is there any buzz about the Yankees? And I'm wondering about the fans this weekend. And, you know, we all know what happened in New York when the team was there.
No.
Well, I'm just assuming that today I'm going to be interested to hear what they have to say.
Haven't mentioned the Yankees. I mean, you know, the Yankees haven't even crossed my mind.
Right.
You know, this is, game five. Right, this is a five-game series with the Twins, so if you think about how this series has played out, right? I mean, the Twins have hit 9 home runs. The Guardians just won. That was obviously Naylor's walk-off last night that almost gave Terry Francona a concussion from the celebration. But and yet they found a way to split the first 4 games, and they got a chance to win the series this afternoon. And I think that obviously is, you know, what's most important. And they'll deal with the Yankees at I'd say around 4:30 this afternoon.
Yeah, I don't think that'll come up after the game. I got to think that some people are going to be talking. I mean, there's going to be high, I don't know if anybody realizes, especially if they win today and they get to within a game. I think that's a little underlying headline going into the series. But I mean, this Yankees series, I mean, there should be some buzz at the ballpark. Holiday weekend, we know what happened in New York last time, and the Yankees are, you know, the best team in baseball. You could argue, but they're, you know what I'm saying?
No, I feel you. Hopefully they're able to sell some tickets, and we'll have, one of those fun atmospheres that we over the years have come to love about watching games in this ballpark.
So are the things that have been being pushed out about the hearing going on in Delaware, where maybe siding toward Deshaun Watson, you think that's valid?
Well, I think it's speculation right now. I mean, it's hard to figure out how Sue Robinson ultimately is going to rule, especially because we don't know what's being presented on both sides. We have an idea. We can have an educated guess, but we're not in the room. So it's real hard to read that room. The NFL made their position clear in making it known of what they were seeking, which is the indefinite suspension, minimum of 1 year, which means they want a chance to take a bite at the 2023 season as well. Obviously, the NFLPA, Deshaun Watson, they are arguing for no suspension. prepared to raise all kinds of other issues surrounding conduct of at all levels of the National Football League, in which no discipline or minimal discipline was levied. So it I'll be honest with you, Jeff, it's hard right now to really guess where Sue Robinson ultimately is going to go with their decision. I will say I'm confident nothing's coming tomorrow. I think that the earliest we hear something will be next week.
Daryl, explain why you think that.
Well, because once the hearing's done, let's assume the hearing ends today. I think there's a chance it could go to Friday, but let's assume they wrap it up today. Well, then there's a 72-hour window, you know, three business days in which you can file briefs. Each side can file briefs, and I expect that to happen. And so that would obviously push everything into next week.
All right, and if I want more great information like you're giving out now, where can I get that at, Daryl?
I do believe that there is a new podcast that is at some point going to be hitting the interweb and podcast services called It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, hosted by some guy named Andy Baskin and some other schmuck named Daryl Ryder. That's the rumor on the street.
All right, it's available where podcasts are available to you, so go get them.
And the Odyssey app, let's not forget.
Oh,
also available on the Odyssey app.
Daryl, as always, thank you. We always appreciate your time, and we will talk to you soon. Enjoy the game today.
You too. Have a great weekend.
All right, have a hot dog.
Thank you, D.
Have a hot dog on the poobah. Just put it on his bill.
Daryl,
go have yourself a steak on the poobah today. Go charge up. He's going to pay for all of it.
And then go bowling.
Yeah, and then go bowling. It'll be great.
Don't ask, Daryl.
Don't ask. Long story. Goodbye, Daryl. Thank you. Appreciate you. Thanks.
All right, bye.
All right, he is Daryl Ryder, and, of course, we always enjoy talking to him. He is our multi-sport reporter, but Browns beat, that's where he's good. So you heard a little piece of it. Mike Chernoff, the general manager of your Cleveland Guardians, spoke a little bit earlier today. And Jeff, one of the topics he talked about paid dividends again last night. And you talked about this yesterday, the Clevinger trade, which now, I mean, look at it now. You know, the Guardians ended up getting Naylor, Quantrill, Owen Miller, Austin Hedges as the headliners in this thing. And then you got a couple of Gabriel Arias. I mean,
and Joey Cantillo is pitching really well at Akron right now.
So look at, I mean, the trade right now, I mean, they got Clevinger, Greg Allen, and then player to be named later. I'm trying to remember who it was. But it doesn't really matter. But at this point, they crushed the trade. You talked about this yesterday, and then he talked about it today. Chernoff did.
When we made that trade, it was agonizing, right? I mean, Clev was a big part of our team, and we felt like it was going to be a really good pitcher moving forward for the rest of his control years. So I think trades can work out in a lot of different ways. And it was unfortunate that he got injured and missed so much time there. It's not like we're running around high five and thinking that we had all the answers then. I think these are always agonizing, and sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't.
Right now, man, you talk about killing the trade.
Well, they nailed it.
They crushed it. I mean, they crushed it. Look at what they did in this thing. And I don't know. Could he take a victory lap, a bigger one? Yeah, probably.
You know,
let's see what happens though down the road. Still,
tell me. And I really like the trade. I really like the return. I like the guys that they have. Are we convinced yet that these guys are going to be long term pieces here? The guys that came back, Cantillo's in the minors. We don't know, but he's pitching really well. Gabe Arias, highly thought of, but in the minors, so you
right.
don't know. Austin Hedges, good defensively, can't hit very well.
No.
Owen Miller, we hope, becomes a part of this moving forward. I like him. I think he can, but I think the jury's still out on that. Cal Quantrill is a major league pitcher. Done. Finished. He's the guy. And Josh Naylor, who we like a lot, but I do think Josh has to show that he can put in a full season and be productive over the course of a full season.
So, but I think the reason you say they crushed it too is what San Diego got.
They got Mike Clevinger,
who got hurt. Greg Allen played like one game and then went to the Yankees.
Waldron's the guy that went later, is the player to be named later. He's a minor leaguer.
How's he doing? Killing up minor league player of the year?
Do not know.
Oh, okay.
All I know is that right now, the way it works out, and if you take everybody out of the trade other than Mike Clevinger and Cal Quantrill, well, it's worked out well for the G-Men. It has.
Again, you got a lot of young players in that deal, and you're still doing this with a lot of young players.
Sure.
So he talked about that today too. About
I do feel like we have a wave of young position players both at the major league level and in double A and triple A that we're really excited about. At the same time, I think we had progressed a lot of our young, super talented pitchers to the major league level.
And they have, again, this mix that they've been able to put together that's having success. You know, you win today, you're a game out of first place in the Central. And I don't think a lot of people thought you were going to be here, you know, this close to getting closer to the All-Star break.
I just like the looks of some of these guys. You know, the Lindor trade, you'll argue forever whether that actually, you know, benefits either team in a big way. This year it's helping the Mets, but I'll tell you, Andrés Giménez has been terrific here. And I like him long-term here. Love the way Rosario plays. We'll see what happens with the Met here. But this organization, to me, Andy, this front office, has always done a really nice job in trades. They identify pieces in other organizations that can help them. And that's really good.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm super excited about Oscar Gonzalez still. I know you were talking about him long before anybody else was, and I don't know that I was able to kind of enjoy what he's doing out on the field until we actually saw him come here. I know he's, you know, the last couple games have been okay, but
yeah, but we knew there'd be this kind of a you know, he's not going to hit 337 forever, right?
No, not
so
at all.
We knew he'd come back to earth, but even though he's come back to earth, I still like his approach. He's not trying to jack everything out of the park. And Andy, I didn't know a whole lot about Oscar Gonzalez. You know what I knew? I knew he was putting up big power numbers and hitting the ball well in the minor leagues. And I've always thought this. You know, I've listened to these baseball scouts forever and these baseball insiders talk about the Eastern League being a tough league to hit in. And if you can hit in the Eastern League because of the weather and the climate, and it's usually a pretty good pitching league, if you can hit there, you can hit. And he hit 330 at Akron. Well, and then he hit it with power. So at the very least, hey, give this guy a look. And they have, and he looks like a guy who could be here for a while. And, man, he's big. He's strong. He looks athletic. He's got a nice arm in right field. My hope is he continues to play at a fairly high level. And you've just answered one of your corner outfield questions. He's your guy. Not just this year, not just next year, but for the next five or six.
And he's homegrown.
That'd be sweet. Know,
isn't that, does that mean anything, that he's homegrown?
Oh, no.
I mean, he started with us in Dominican Summer League.
That's great, but, you know.
17 years old.
Sandy wasn't homegrown, and Sandy Alomar is
no
a Clevelander. You know what? You know what I mean?
No. I mean, but for the organization, you know, they talk about putting money into the system, well, putting money.
Lindor,
and we're talking about a lot of great players.
Lindor and Ramirez were homegrown, both of them.
Right, but we talk about a lot of players that they've acquired through trades, which I think has been the backbone of this organization
really
since Joe Carter. Right?
Yeah,
it's been the backbone of the
organization. Hank Peters.
They have figured out a way that they can make this team competitive through trading, you know, big name players, or at least big name players to us, and turning them into, you know, quality players that can help you win in and out.
Yep.
I'm going to take.
Still stunning that the Padres gave up so many people in that trade for Clevinger.
But at the time, and correct me if I'm wrong, Menegan, I mean, their minor league organization
is just
stacked.
Overflowing with talent. In fact, the Guardians didn't get top prospects.
Right.
They got prospects.
I'm going to take one phone call here real quick. Cynthia's on the road. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, Andy. How are you? Great to hear you. I have a question for you because
How about me, Cynthia?
Cynthia, you got to say.
Is it okay to hear me too?
Look, I love you to death too, but you know you make me hypertensive. Some of your views are a bit tarse for me, but Andy, real quick, Andy.
Yeah,
like, you know
I'm
feeling what you're saying. You guys are saying about Naylor, but you know I went to a recent game. He looks pudgy. So my question is,
it's a big jersey. He could wear a tighter fit jersey. That's all.
I do watch the game through a different lens because I'm a female, but. You know, the comparison, like, to former players, these guys look chunkier. So my question is, how much do you feel his inability to complete a full season is tied to his conditioning? And lastly, I love Oscar Gonzalez as well. Love the analogy with homegrown, but you know what's going to happen.
What's going to happen? He's going to get great and we're going to trade him?
Yes, yes. So I'll wait to hear about Naylor. Look, you guys are awesome. Really enjoy listening to you on my drive. Take
but
care.
Cynthia, listen. Oh, she hung up already.
She's got things to do, man.
All right, she's got work to do. But listen, I mean, his jersey came off after he hit the home run yesterday. He does. I mean, when you size him up against guys and you're standing there and you see what they look like live and in person, he does look a little bit bigger. But I'll take that strength all the time because that put the ball out of the park last night. I mean, it's not like – it's just funny. Like, pudgy for me and Jeff is pudgy. If a Major League Baseball player looks pudgy like that, it's muscle. There's a big difference. And we all have different body types. I don't know. Do you think he's overweight? I don't think he's overweight. He's a big guy.
Andy, he's overweight.
He's a big guy.
He's overweight.
Did that matter
doesn't
last
mean
night?
You, doesn't mean you can't play baseball. I mean, let's be fair here. He's listed at 5'11", 250 pounds. Okay?
Okay.
That's overweight.
I don't know. From where I'm sitting,
stop.
That sounds pretty slender.
But stop. So what? Okay? So what? He's playing first base now, almost exclusively, so he doesn't have to run around the outfield. That's fine. He hits. That's fine. I just want him to stay healthy. And let me go back to one of my favorite things.
I mean, do you think his injury had to do with his weight?
No,
I
not
think
big,
so.
Not the big injury that he had, of course.
And
not.
I
that was a
care.
Collision. But here's the thing. I don't care that he's overweight. He plays a position where it doesn't truly matter, and he swings a bat, and he plays his you-know-what off. So I don't care. But let's be honest. He's a big guy. He's 5'11", 250.
But, Jeff, if it's muscle.
Andy, it's not all muscle.
How do you know?
Because I know.
How do you know? How do you know it's not all muscle?
And Andy. Buddy,
Jeff.
Pal.
Jeff, you don't know. Just admit it. You don't know. It's okay. You can say it.
He's 5'11", 250 pounds. That's too heavy for the normal human being. If you look up... Listen, come on, man. I'm being serious here.
I'm not. I mean, look, he can
Cynthia's
play baseball.
Point is he's too heavy. Yeah, I don't care. I don't care. That's the point. And it doesn't seem to affect his swing any, does it? So I don't care. But Cynthia's point was, is he heavy? Yes, Cynthia, he's heavy.
He appears to be heavy. He wears big jerseys.
He is heavy. 5'11", 250. Look up any obesity chart and it'll tell you that's too heavy.
Oh, so now we live by the normal standard. I mean,
I'm just saying,
can't be different?
Her question was, is he too heavy? Well, sure he is. But does it affect his baseball? Doesn't seem to. That's the point, Andy.
If you want to make the argument,
I'm just answering the nice lady's question.
If you want,
even though she thinks you're great and that I'm too
oh
terse.
Oh my God! Between you and Ryder, I can't get a word in today, man. This is crazy.
Oh,
show.
Way to throw Whoa. Your podcast pal under the bus.
Whoa. I was trying
I'm
to
Andy,
ask Daryl.
I want
Daryl,
to talk more. Daryl talks too much.
I never said that.
You just did.
I wow. said I'm trying to get a word in between the last two interviews.
Ding.
It has nothing to do with the podcast.
You asked me what I thought. I told you.
No, I didn't.
You didn't want to hear.
I never
then
asked
I told
you what you thought.
And you said, no, you're wrong, Jeff. I'm doing Seinfeld. Why? I don't know.
It's like you're doing B-movie. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3, the fan. What time? Oh, Quentin Mayo. Are we already up to Quentin Mayo?
Thank God.
Yeah, it's about time. He can turn off my Jeff Vomiter.
Wonder who'll get sideswiped during that one.
Oh, man. Jeff Phelps, body shames, Guardians, next, Baskin and Phelps.
Wow.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
On the line right now is the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Quinton Mayo. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Hello, Quinton. How are you?
I'm doing well, fellas. How we doing?
Good. All right, so Quinton, I'm going to bring you in on a topic we had yesterday because the USFL Championship is near Cleveland and Akron over the weekend. And we were talking about, you know, the viability of the league, viability of leagues that play in the summer. And we were wondering, as far as gambling is concerned and how things have changed over the years, how much more viable does that make a spring football league? And how much does that, you know, the influence and the money maybe behind the advertising that could be brought to a league like the USFL, how does that make it, maybe could make it more prosperous than it's been in the past? What do you think?
I think it's a really good question, but one thing that we have to maybe realize is that the quality of football is what matters the most. And I think you have events and leagues that can be bet on, specifically at BetMGM, that might feel like a big deal, but it's more so like a sideshow. Like in the grand scheme of things, the USFL might be, and betting especially, might be equivalent to, like, you know, just deciding that you wanted to play the slots this weekend and you go and drop it. Like that's just not like the real volume. That's not where the real money is coming in terms of betting, especially like big time bets. You see these guys that are putting a bunch of units on, let's say, the Packers team total over. Like the NFL and football in general, we know is America's game. That is king, and it's so hard to dethrone any sort of attention from the NFL, which we've known and loved, to a new league that is clearly inferior to what we're used to. So I don't know if even the timing of when they play really plays into like the grand scheme of trying to build it up and then turning that into maybe ticket handle and ticket percentage at the sportsbooks. I don't think it does that much to that, unfortunately. Now, I will say, you know me, you said my title when I came on the airwaves, betting inside. I'm betting all that. Like, I'm going to bet it all. Still, after I talk all that trash about it, I can't name half the players that play in the league, maybe even three of them, but I still know a few things or two that I can put my money on, hopefully, to get some bread. But I don't think it's a huge sport that is now worthy of drawing like substantial attention or a volume to a sports.
But do you think that it had helped out these leagues that if maybe we would have looked at them playing for a year or two or three, that there might be some backbone to it, to even having its existence? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I think because of sports gambling becoming legalized in so many places, that it might be the push these leagues need to exist longer than they have in the past.
That's a great point. No, that's a great point. And I understand that. I just think the question with all these startup leagues is like, how do you accomplish that?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's clearly had to be done and redone over and over and over again. It's like, well, how do we accomplish a football league in America in contest, in competition with the NFL, and stay relevant? I think a huge part of the reason why the Canadian Football League works so much is because it's Canada. Like, that's their own thing up there. Like, I know they're with it, but that's their own thing. It's a different culture. It's just a different lifestyle in Canada, to where they've embraced that. They didn't grow up watching NFL football. So I think it's so difficult for these leagues to come in into the U.S. or just establish here and go up against them and have some staying power, because it's hard to retain attention there, especially if maybe, you know, I don't even if you're on the air or for 2 years, or, you know, are all the games televised? Are the games on channels that I can watch on Fox? And what time is it? It's just a different life change for football fans, and I think that's what pushes everybody away.
How's the action been on? the USFL, though? And you mentioned Canada. On Canada, are they viable betting options for folks who want to wager?
Yeah, the Canadian Football League has definitely been good to us and myself as well. I started the show with Ryan and I last year here on Odyssey, and from that point on to now, we have really been trying to handicap the CFL because, you know, they have like some guys up there that, of course, used to play in the NFL, and, you know, they have their own set of rules. Like, it's actually a pretty decent product. So I think there's a good amount of volume on the CFL, but the USFL, not so much yet, but it is new, and they made it through a year, so that should count for something.
Would you bet on the Brooklyn Nets right now?
I think so.
To win the whole thing next year? Okay.
I would try to get ahead of it. I would try to get ahead of it because, and this is the biggest thing in my life right now is, of course, free agency. And I've been told that the Nets are really trying to make a move to get DeAndre Ayton. And that would be absolutely ridiculous, not only to add Ayton, what he does for the team, but taking him away from a possible, you know, competitor in Phoenix, who that's a team that you could probably meet in the NBA Finals if you were to get there. That would be a league-shattering trade. So I will put money on the Nets now just in case those odds significantly change, which they're not great odds anyway because it's KD and Kyrie there. Also, I'll put some money on the Lakers too because what if Kyrie does get traded to L.A.? I think even though, you know, he opted into his contract and, you know, that kind of nixes a few options, Kyrie and LeBron love each other. They're like best brothers, man. I've never seen anything like it. I think there's some value to that.
I'm sorry, Quentin. Have you adjusted history?
You said what?
Have you adjusted history? Or does that not matter? History? Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, they didn't exactly love each other when they left. Kyrie wanted to leave because of LeBron. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And now Kyrie's on a world tour on every podcast saying how much he looks up to LeBron and how everything that he said that was contrary to his like for LeBron James back in the day when he first left is wrong.
You know, the world's flat, too, Quentin. Did you know that? The earth is flat. And you shouldn't get vaccinated. So, I mean, I'd believe everything Kyrie says.
That's true, fellas. You can't hold him to his word.
All right, let me ask you this. You guys have any numbers on where key guys land during NBA free agency? And it's insane to me that a guy like Harden, I understand why, that James Harden opts out of a $47 million option, that your guy Brad Beal opts out of 35, even though he's probably going to get more to stay. It's absurd to me. What numbers do you have as to who lands where?
So we don't have any exotics on the free agency targets, and I don't know if we ever have done that. I will say, like, you can shop around and go to other sportsbooks that might offer, like, some other stuff. But the truth about those lines and odds are that there's such a huge liability to the book because that's not something that can be necessarily put into a model. Like, let's say the Reds play the Chicago Cubs today at 8:05. There's a model that can tell you what I think the outcome of the game is going to be opposed to what I think a player's decision is going to be. So that's why if there is a huge swing in terms of, let's say Harden does shock the world and go somewhere else, that puts the sportsbooks at a huge disadvantage to lose a ton of money. And we know they are not in the business of losing any sort of money. So we don't have those lines yet, but there are available some places. I've been keeping my eyes on it too because, I mean, even go back to the NBA draft, everybody thought, of course, Jabari Smith was going number one overall, and then it was going to be a formality check, number two, and then Paolo, number three. The sportsbooks went against what Wojnarowski said. Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, the sportsbooks knew before them that, hey, there might be something with the number one overall pick, and it might be Paolo Banchero. And it come to find out 5 minutes before the draft, then Woj changes his entire tune, and they do go with Paolo number one overall. So the sportsbooks, they know. They know. It's weird, but Vegas knows.
Hey, let me ask you this, and this is just a fun one, because I was looking at the site at BetMGM. And I didn't realize that you could, the player props on a game like Twins Guardians right now, that you can bet on strikeouts, earned runs, outs. I mean, there's just so much there as far as props. Do people dig it? I mean, are there a lot of people in there, or most people, when they're betting baseball, are they just betting the game or doing a parlay, matching it up with a couple other games? And I just thought it was interesting just to kind of look here and just see what the odds are for first person to make an out, or I just think it's super interesting.
No, it is super interesting. And one thing about props, not just in baseball, but across, you know, all the four major sports, is that, you know, there's a ton of opportunity for more value on those plays. and those picks, because it's very specific. It's even more specific than just the outcome of the game or how many runs are scored or how many goals are scored or anything like that. So that actually has been the focus of our show all week long on BetMGM Tonight, is the player props, because one of our co-hosts, Trista Crick, has been going crazy with baseball player props, out, who records the first out, everything that you just said. And she's been really crushing it. She's been crushing it because you can find little trends and little intricacies that help you win some money, opposed to maybe an outcome of an entire game. So a lot of people do indulge in them. Now, I think the baseball props are a little more exhaustive than any other sport that you can bet props on. NBA, typically more traditional, easy stuff. Baseball is just a more analytic-driven sport in general. But there are some opportunities, and a lot of people do love it. I wish I had the handle percentage that I could bring in. I got to ask our betting analyst guy at BetMGM, what percentage of the handle are you getting on guys and girls who bet player props in baseball? Because I think especially through the dead of the middle of the season right now, it's definitely an emphasis, because we have nothing else to bet, so we're trying to get creative.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like playing mound ball at home. It's the same kind of thing, right? So, all right, hey, I appreciate your time, Quentin. We'll talk to you next week. Take care, man.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you,
have
Quentin.
A great day.
All right, you too. That was host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Quentin Mayo. Be sure to listen to the BetMGM Tonight podcast for more of Quentin Mayo's analysis. Just search BetMGM wherever you find your podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.